Embrace the Word for Friday, February 27, 2026. Embracing Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is a praise to the Lord for His deliverance. Psalm 29 spoke of the judgment through the many waters of the flood, 29, 3, and 10. While Psalm 30 opens with David acknowledging that the Lord had drawn him up, 31. The superscription of this praise is a long one, a psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. Literally, the superscription states that it is for the dedication of the house. But that term can mean temple, such as when David wanted to build a place of worship for the Lord, and the Lord replied, "Would you build me a house to dwell in?" See 2 Samuel 7:5. The Lord went on to say that David's offspring shall build a house for my name. See 2 Samuel 7:13. As to the dedication of the temple, it was not built and dedicated in David's time, but by his son Solomon. Therefore, the dedication spoken of in Psalm 29 might have possibly been when David bought the land upon which the temple would be built and offered a sacrifice there. See 2 Samuel 24:18 through 25. Other possible options include that it was written around the time that David accomplished all the preliminary work for the temple and prayed a dedicatory prayer, 1 Chronicles 29:10-22. Or it may have been written by David and kept until the temple was completed. Whenever Psalm 29 was used, David opens with a clear resolve of praise. "I will extol you, O God, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me, O Lord my God. I cried to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You have restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit." 30:1-3. David praises the Lord for lifting him out of the troubles that his enemies had brought upon him. David cried out to the Lord, and he helped and healed. But more specifically, the Lord raised his soul from the grip of Sheol and restored him to life. David is recounting that his troubles were so great, it was as if he was dead. But David is also recounting the Lord's rescue to be as if he was raised from the dead. Because of the way that the Lord lifted up David from the dead, David now calls upon all the people to lift up the Lord in praise. "Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name." 30:4. While the Lord's rescue of David gave his foes nothing to rejoice about, the saints had much for which to give thanks. The term saints is literally the steadfast loved ones, or those whom the Lord covenantally loves with a devoted, durable, and delighting in love. The Lord's intervention on behalf of David, their king, is a demonstration of his love for them. Additionally, the Lord's intervention is a function of his holiness, which in this case probably suggests the Lord's commitment to set apart his people unto himself. David further explains the reason behind his call to praise the Lord. "For his anger is but for a moment, but his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning." 29:5. David states that the Lord's anger is momentary, while his favor is a lifetime. Thus, sorrow related to God's anger is for one night, and with the dawn, joy, because of God's favor, returns. David's words suggest a situation where his own sin brought on the Lord's momentary wrath. But through David's repentance and trust in the Lord, the Lord's displeasure subsided. David suffered temporarily because of his sin, but God delivered him. David spent the night weeping as though he was in the pit of Sheol, but with the morning came great joy as if he was raised. As David continues, it seems best to take David's next words as a description that looks back at the troubles that David was in and why. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you have made the mountain stand strong. You hide your face. I was dismayed. 30:6-7. David seems to be confessing that he became presumptuous and self-confident by all of the safety and prosperity that the Lord had provided to him and the nation he led. David began to think that he would never falter. Moses had warned Israel on this matter. When you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. See Deuteronomy 8:12-13 and verse 17. It was the Lord's own provision and protection that accounted for David's safety and security. David was sinfully confused as to where his confidence truly originated. It was the Lord, not David, who made the mountains stand strong. And it was the Lord who hid his face from David in response to David's self-confidence. And David soon felt the difference that God's presence makes. There is no life apart from the presence of God, thus the sensation of the pit of Sheol. Neither is there protection from his enemies, nor provision of help and healing. In response to the Lord hiding his face, David sought the face of the Lord. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. 38. David pleads for mercy and reinforces that plea with repeating his need for the Lord's mercy. Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. 30:10. David's self-confident presumptuousness is over. David knows he needs the Lord's help. It is intriguing to consider what David says in between these two verses requesting mercy. David's appeal may sound strange to us. What profit is there in my death? If I go down to the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? 39. David wants the Lord to answer his request and deliver him from the pit of Sheol, or else. Or else he won't be able to praise the Lord. The dead can't sing, or else he won't be able to go to be around to tell of the faithfulness of the Lord. The dead also can't testify. Who prays like this? David does. He is not suggesting some lack or deficiency in God if David is not around to promote him and to talk him up. No, David is basing his prayer in the interests of God, not his own. Further, David is revealing his understanding that his truest rationale for his existence is for the praise of our God. The Lord was merciful to David, and David knows what to do with that. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. 30, 11 through 12. Everything has flipped. The Lord's presence has returned. David's mourning is gone. The dancing has begun. The Lord has taken off David's garments of sorrow and repentance and has replaced them with happy garments. The Lord's presence has transformed David, and his glory is to sing praises. He will not be silent. He's alive, so he praises and testifies, for such he exists. Expressing gratitude is something that he can resume doing for the remainder of his days. As we reflect on Psalm 30, I think about the mood change in Jesus' disciples on the third day. The mood of sorrow and defeat over the death of Jesus sent the disciples into grief and into hiding. But on the third day, weeping was turned to joy, as John records. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." See John 20:15-18. Matthew adds, "So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and with great joy, and ran to tell his disciples." 28:8. Jesus was alive. His work was complete. Wailing has turned into dancing. The sackcloth was exchanged for gladness, and the praises and telling of God's faithfulness has become, and the gratitude of God's people is to never be extinguished. That's all for Embrace the Word for Friday, February 27, 2026. I look forward to being back with you for the Monday, March 2nd, 2026 episode of Embrace the Word as we take a look at Psalm 31.